Greetings, hi, my name is Mark Levy, and I was a student of Ted Green. I studied with him in the 70s and when I was a teenager, and then again in the 90s. I taped every session, every lesson in the 90s. I studied with him for about three and a half years, somewhere between 91 and 94, 95, and I taped every lesson, and I'm more than happy to share them with you. Please realize that they're totally unedited. And clearly for non-commercial educational use only. And I hope you learn something from this great, great teacher and guitarist and person. And realize I'm just an enthusiastic student, so I probably ask a lot of dumb questions. But you see what a patient man he is with me. So anyway, enjoy and thank you.
Lesson with Ted Green, fourth time lesson, March 4th, 1992.
Okay. That is a very clear. It doesn't quite. It has a very bright tone, doesn't it?
Extremely, because of the pickups. They made very bright pickups back then.
During that period.
Yes. And it doesn't sound like they demagged at all. They kept all their brilliance through the years. Strings, tinging them like that, how bright these. So we don't even have the highs on the amp.
Is that a sound that you like personally, or
I love it for chimes. I love to hear every little nuance.
Harmonic overtone.
I want the harmonics to ring without much effort. I want to be able to touch it and have it still keep ringing.
Mm-hmm.
I like a lot of ring out of them. So. Sound, and I like hearing the new string sound on there.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's great to have it there if you want it.
Mm-hmm.
Some guitars just don't get a lot
right.
of it. In my guitars, I can't change strings every day. That put me into
what do you do, once a week?
I used to do every other day when I was a kid, every day. And I went whenever I had the money, and then it's gone to like months at a time.
Whoa. You know,
so I don't get into too much.
One, I can't find any sets, right? You know, they don't. I got to buy individual. And McCabe's, I spent equivalent of three sets for over $21. It's like $6, $7
Once
a set.
You got to find a store where they know you, where they'll give you strings for a discount.
They chopped off like 15, 20%. I used to get 25 at Baxter.
To get 25, I mean, it used to cost you 25.
No, 25% off.
Okay.
You know, but these are individuals.
I understand.
Yeah.
Like if this, let's say the bottom string retails at 180, you want to find a store that'll give it to you for like 130 or something.
Right.
You know.
Right.
See if you can build up a relationship with some store where you just start asking about, hey, you'd like to buy a lot of strings, but you can't afford it.
Right.
Because it's coming out to $7 a set. Is there any way he can help you out? You know,
and I'll be a regular customer.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, yeah.
And they'll be feeding lots of money, so they'll make it up on volume.
Yeah, I mean, like Baxter, I was a customer for them for like 15 years.
But you just
years.
Lived where Venice, I forget.
Plato Ray.
Plato Ray, yeah. So.
And another big problem is that no one carries these types of gauges.
You have to have a special order. Silly. Because everyone used to carry all these gauges all the time. It was standard to have every...
Not anymore. Well, maybe they don't sell that many, so they back off on it.
That's exactly right.
Just keeping their stock tight.
I dig this guitar.
I'm grooving.
This guitar is so great.
I'm grooving.
It sounds great. It feels great. It looks great. Oh, it's such a nice guitar.
I love it.
Can't believe Caesar let this go. Although he says his Squire is...
He's into it, huh?
Like, he loves his Squire.
Well...
And I've had it in here. His Squire is exceptionally
beautiful.
Great also. Oh, it's not that it looks better than this. I don't remember it looking as great as this.
No, I mean, plays beautiful. Sounds good.
Well, all his guitars play well. He knows how to set them up.
Yeah.
He's my very first student to learn setup in the way that...
In the right time.
That I wished everybody...
Mm-hmm.
You know, just... I mean, his guitars play like mine.
Right.
So I'm happy with it. But his guitar just has a great sound, man. Real deep. I think it's heavier, so it gets a deep, deep,
mm-hmm.
deep bass. This one has plenty of bass in it.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
That's plenty good in the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
He might have had a quart. Sometimes you get a poor set of strings. could just happen.
So
he might have strung it up with his favorite gauge, and it didn't ring as well.
This baby?
Yeah, with the Squire. And he said, no, it's not quite as good, whereas you might have just gotten the best 54 that's happened in Erie, Pennsylvania in 2 decades.
Maybe.
Came right out of the foundry, special batch of metal, and this baby just has bass for days,
right,
man.
Well, I mean, I just changed rings like today for that, but, you know, I mean, after a week of hard playing, boy.
That's dead, right?
Yeah, those strings go.
Oh, yeah. Do you perspire while you play?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that kills.
And I smoke, you know, cigarettes and stuff, so.
I hear you, man. I do both those same things, so it's like my strings are just, that thing has just got, listen to mine, you'll laugh.
Yeah, right. That's what it sounds like an oldie.
It sounds like a flat one.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
There's just no life left in it. Except it's, it'll play, but it's
sure.
No zing.
For buttons. Sure.
Yeah, I'm very impressed.
I'm very happy, and I hope my other Telly's not jealous when I pick him, you know, her up tomorrow.
Well, she may be just also what the doctor ordered, and you may love her as well.
I got a feeling she hasn't played through the pro yet, you know, and so I haven't heard that humbucking through that pro, because that, you know, my other Telly's got that sunk humbucking up against the, so I think it should be pretty nice. Feel good?
I'm getting to love a big string on the second string for this kind of work. For a single string and for just getting a jazz sound. I had so many years of playing, you know, like my second string was a 10 for years.
Right.
And
right.
I
wow.
Eventually went up to higher and higher gauges. I've never gone to 18 though. Only when I tuned down really, really low have I gotten that high.
Well, it's not, as I said, I'm not in danger of any problems with the guitar by putting it in. Okay.
The next starts to bow, you'll just tighten the rod.
Okay.
I love it, man. It's not that heavy a guitar, too. I'm sometimes mystified how even a light guitar can sound so ringy.
Wasn't this the years when they started wanting to make a light guitar?
No, they were just getting into the heavy craze.
Ah.
The heavy craze went full bore in the 70s. You have some Strats there that are made entirely of rosewood and some Tellies. Can barely lift them. They weigh like twice as much as a regular guitar.
You know, I at McCabe's, I looked at a jazz guitar book. And there was a caption that says that you're a Stratocaster connoisseur. Are you
have a Telecaster connoisseur?
No, Strat.
Oh, okay. I've seen that. I have that book. That's the one that says I think it says I was born in Britain. I was 54. This book was written like 10 years ago. And then I was a studio's denizen. Remember that? Is that the one?
I'm
a Stratocaster player or connoisseur. So I said, well, none of that's true, but other than that, everything's just fine. It's like, Mark Levy. It's like, plays Les Paul, favorite guitar, Les Paul. Has a brother who plays classical cello.
Right.
Yeah, I said, no, sister plays violin. I mean, just everything was wrong. Single thing was wrong.
What was I doing
in a jazz book?
Because I would like to buy a good book on jazz guitar.
That book is sensational for other things.
Other things, okay.
It's a big tan, thick one. There are other great aspects of it, but just accuracy on some of that.
When I saw that, I said, Ted Green with a Strat. I don't think I've ever seen Ted with a Strat.
I had a lot of Strats.
You used to?
But only for about 2 years, and I was never more, I wasn't like, you know, connoisseur in the sense
right.
of, you know, having 18 different gears and.
Well, this was implying that that's your guitar and you play jazz with it, and et cetera, et cetera. Anyway.
Yeah. So, I have a lot of things to ask you, but I'll start with the things that you have to tell me about, and we'll let it run that way until I sense that I need to ask you the things that I need.
Well, why don't you want to ask me?
Well, first of all, I had given you, you were going to work on that song, and.
Yes.
And then
okay.
I think you said you were having trouble with a few parts, getting something
right.
like. Passing chords on.
One, I'd like you to play it possibly for me. There were
first
a couple.
I want to see you play whatever you've been playing.
Okay,
on.
I don't have it. Well,
not you don't have to play my version.
No, I've been learning your version.
But I was hoping that my version might give you ideas for because you already played a version, right?
I was learning a version. You see, okay, and I had like I did it from your sheet music, right? I'm trying to remember it now. Shit. can't remember. To tell you the truth. I've been playing your version all week. That's why.
Keep playing. Spot where it's not a lot of highs, but some. Your touch is much stronger than mine. I'm hearing. It's got the same volume you're talking about.
See, this was the one right. That I was working on, and I had problems, or at least my questions were
about that section.
Yeah, it felt dead.
So how about boom, 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 boom.
You know,
I had a moving line section.
Yeah, you had
that's right. Second time I had moving lines.
Okay. Something like that.
That's right. He's got it. There's a counter line going.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to that counter line. That counter line goes. So watch it in there and see it. You almost got your right hand played on the trigger. Mm-hmm. There. Your left hand did it right.
Like how that worked, uh-huh. You know.
This thing is this, by the way. If you want to hear the bass ring, see, run out of fingers that way. How about if we put this finger in there? We do this, and then don't restrike the bass. Just let it sing. Right. So okay. Going.
Right. Right. This one I had more trouble with, I think. And then, again, I don't have it all memorized.
You don't have to. As long as you got to. Later on, you'll keep going back to some of these arrangements and you'll see. You'll look for concepts that you can use, you know.
That I forgot.
Let's talk about the vibrato. I see you trying to get vibrato.
Right.
If you shake it this way, you may not get much vibrato.
Mm-hmm.
The first vibrato pulse happens when you hold on and you pull the guitar towards you. It's not in this plane. It's actually towards your body.
Okay.
This way, like
you're sort of bending the neck a little bit, or
yeah, I think it does push the neck possibly, but quite more possibly it's just pulling the string length that's on the neck. The neck doesn't really bend so much. It's just it's affixed here, and it's just the strings are getting pulled.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. So wait, it's nice and slow. Like if you're here. Pull it once real strong, and then let it back to where it was. Yeah, it's a,
I could hear it, sure.
So on any chord, you'll get some of that. But in this plane, no matter how fast you go, it won't really give you the sound.
But I heard it. I mean, I heard the vibrato. Did you hear the vibrato?
When you were doing it?
Yeah.
It was
very minor. Yeah.
I shouldn't say that you would get nothing, because any motion would create a possible.
I also had some questions with
this thing still?
I can play that for you. I have that memorized.
Any problems understanding anything in there?
I really did not do a thorough like technical analysis of it. You know what I mean? Where I could sit there. I looked at it. At least if you could analyze it, it looked like you set it up where it was pretty straightforward as far as, the standard 1, 3, 6, 2, 5 thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I haven't sat down and really consciously looked at it. I started to, but I haven't.
Okay, I won't worry about it. So you said.
But I do want to. I'm glad you brought that up because I do want to go over that. It's important. Yeah, I filled out the chords here, and
let's move this out of the
way. There were some questions, I think.
Yeah, I'd love to hear your questions. So let's put it all up.
There was one sound. I mean, first, I think, is this correct? Most of these, I think, are correct, but there was one sound that you have an A minor 13 with a major 11, I mean, 7? Is that possible?
It could very well be.
Yeah, this is an A. Now,
what makes you think this isn't an A?
No, I'm just questioning the.
The name, the nomenclature?
Yeah, or the.
Okay. Always start from the simple to the complex. Mm-hmm. Now, you said minor 13. Think back in your studies,
Minor 6.
Yeah, minor 6, major 7.
Okay.
It's just got a
gotcha.
7 instead of a root.
Gotcha. So that's a minor 6, major 7, that's fine. That's not a big thing.
Not at all. You're smart to ask the questions, though, when you're not sure. I like that.
Then that's fine. I didn't throw a whole bunch of work in this, although I played it every day. I mean, I'm getting to the point where I could memorize
okay.
it.
No, well, you don't have to make up questions mm-hmm. if they're not there. I'll have plenty right. for you to throw out to if you know.
But I did work a lot on inversions and stuff. I went ahead. What happened was that I cut my thumb pretty bad last Tuesday slicing eggplant. And
wow.
Yeah, it was sort of a bummer. So I had some time.
You should be careful now.
Knives and guitar players don't get along.
I try to be careful when I do. I see these oranges, you know, and that's one of the only things I cut.
Uh-huh.
A sharp knife, and so wait a minute, man, be careful.
I worked real hard on small densities, okay? Mm-hmm. And, I mean, I'm going to get them down. That's like a goal. I'm going to knock these babies out. What I did was, you know, I would work on like the 7 basic colors, okay? And then I got, and I sort of did the same type of worksheet that you had, but with altered sounds, you know, on the 3. But I don't know whether, do you have a proper order, a good practicing order? Like,
there are some orders. What order have you done?
Okay, I did 7th. I did 7 sharp 5. 7 flat 9 sharp 5, 9 sharp 5, 9 flat 5, 7 flat 5.
That's
nice. So you have that descending ninth. You know, I wanted to know whether there were
descending ninth.
I mean, ascending ninth going up.
From flat 9 to
yeah, flat 9.
Then you could do the sharp 9s next, right?
Yeah, I haven't done the sharp. That's the next question is like, what other sounds do we got?
Sharp 9?
Okay, sure.
We've got. You have 35. You have 43 to be exactly precise. 43 rows of 4 note chords in mm-hmm. any voicing group. Densities, mm-hmm. I used to mm-hmm. say. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
That's all she wrote. There are only 43 of them. You'll have to ask the maker why someday. I don't know why. That's it. Each one, though, has a plethora of names.
Mm-hmm.
So there are a lot of chords to work on. We could say, well, let's work on minor 6, 9, add 11. And it can get pretty involved.
Really, and if just with four part, just because it's like really implied, you know, because you move, it's implied root, implied. I mean, I have a note here. Like, I noticed when I went through these and drew these out that the tritone never gets altered, the third, the flat seven, and it does
if you do a sus dominant.
Oh yeah, okay. But what it was telling me is that sort of like the sex of the chord, you know, where the other things are the personalities, you know, like the ninth and the seconds.
That works. The major seven, instead of the dominant seven,
mm-hmm.
on the fifth degree. Normally we don't play any five major seven.
You like that, or no?
Okay, so yeah, let's say. Let me make sure I'm in tune with you. Let's hear that. Is the smoke going to bother you?
No, not at all. I'm a smoker.
So, okay, close enough. So we're in D now, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. This is our key.
Mm-hmm.
And if we just go, it sounds almost like another key.
Yeah, it does almost.
If you play in here and you go.
Mm-hmm.
That was a major seven sharp five.
Whoa, okay.
Major sevens with a sharp five can sound dominant.
Mm-hmm.
So you actually can alter the seven. You would never alter the seven, but it does happen.
Oh, yeah, okay, I see. But in like the altered altered dominant sounds, I guess.
Altered dominant, we traditionally don't do it, but there is a new breed of chords in the last 50 years.
It's mm-hmm.
surfaced via classical and film music, and it's found its way into jazz finally.
Mm-hmm.
Just the standard way, classical and film, and then
is that how it works?
I think so. I think jazz has been behind harmonically, but way ahead of popular music.
Right, right.
Except for when it was the popular music, in the swing era jazz, you know. But then that also wasn't the most sophisticated harmonic part of the jazz thing that was underground at the time. That's another story, though. But anyway, don't be shy about thinking about major seven sharp five.
Okay. Right, that's groovy. Well, I'm just trying to get my hands on this, and it's a bundle.
It is.
You know, but it's groovy. It's great.
It really is groovy.
I find, but that a lot of the sounds leave me uneasy when they're by themselves.
Normal.
They need movement. You know. Should I like chain them? Just chain five ones, or
that's a great way to practice them.
Period.
Sure. Period. That's a very good starting place.
Okay. Good.
Like this sound. This is flat nine sharp five.
Right. I got it. I love. And B.
Oh, B. Okay. Yeah. Isn't that great?
Yeah. That's. It's way groovy.
Yeah. This to this is a nice resolution, Mark. If you see this note coming down to there,
mm-hmm.
you might want, sometimes, if you're going to be with a bass player,
uh-huh.
put the nine in there.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Instead of the, see, eight.
Make it a major.
You have this line.
Uh-huh.
But it can also just do that and go to nine. Just like in the top, when you go, it doesn't always do that. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it goes.
Right. Yeah, I have. I'm going through and like I'm hearing it like I put a little VHD next to a chord that says very hep down, meaning it resolves down very well.
Okay.
Can you dig it? So like I'm hearing some good sounds, like, you know, like an A 7 sharp 5 like this. It's like,
wants
whoa.
To go up or wants to stay or wants to go down? Which do you hear?
I hear it. If it goes down, it's got to, the line's got to be chromatic, like. That's nice, yeah. Yeah, that's nice, okay.
Remember, you can leave if that's what you hear.
Yeah,
see, because otherwise you're just hearing it go there, and that's not what you preferred without the chromatic insert.
Yeah, that doesn't turn me on, you know.
Yeah, it could if you went to Lydian.
But it's inversion. Wait a second.
Let's not leave that. You won't forget.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes Mm-hmm. That, like D-Lydian.
Okay. Oh, I see.
There's the nine in the sharp limit.
Right on. Okay. Well, it's going to be like, it would be like...
See, we were trying for the downward resolution melodically, because you were saying that didn't turn you on, so... This was our subject at hand.
Okay.
So we're talking about getting a voicing that has a more attractive sound to your ears than it is. Mm-hmm. But still this melody.
I see.
So... Mm-hmm. Because this note's so unusually flavorful, that raised 11.
Mm-hmm. So it'd be...
That's it. Yeah, if you have a bass player.
I see.
And make it sound nice. Mm-hmm. It's funny, sometimes when you give up on something, if you say, well, maybe it's not lost after all, and there might be some other factor to make it work.
Well, I am, and one, a lot of these sounds, my ears, at least playing, are new. So, man, I am like, sometimes I practice these inversions, I'm going, like, you know, like sharp nine, you know, like hearing that, I go, whoa. You know, but I'm getting used to it, and I can hear it resolve, like, you know.
I'm going to give you a paper that has some of these kind of resolutions on it already.
Okay.
I don't think anything on there will shock you, but you might get a tidbit or two. It might show you a different way to organize them in your mind. All the colors, like, I organize it by about 7 or 8 categories, maybe 5 or 6, I forget, but like regular dominant, like say for, let's see, we're in D, so, like this is regular to me, so is this. This is soft dissonance, mild dissonance. This is still soft.
13 flat 9 right there.
Those sound pretty soft in the right voice. Mm-hmm. Whereas this, I don't know, that's a spicy note. I don't know how tangy or spicy, with or without that. And this is more aggressive.
Right.
Just a raised 9 chord.
Right. Right, of course.
So on this paper, like, you'll see them organized by their qualities.
Interesting.
In their, see, I like the structural thing as a way to get involved. It's a good way to stay on it. But later when you go to apply them, you might have them grouped by their color.
Yeah, that's cool. Well, yeah, as I say, well, God, you know, this color, like, okay, like, oh, dig, like G.
Here, play it. Let me see if I can hear it.
Okay.
It's either sharp 5 or flat 5.
Just sharp.
Is this it?
Yes.
9 sharp 5?
Right.
Doesn't sound like a G anything.
Right, but... I mean that...
It'll resolve, yeah.
Even...
It resolves.
Even this one resolves.
Yeah, you can resolve all the voices right up into C major
7. Ooh, with an add 9, is that... Or?
No, it's just straight C major 7. The shapes are so congruent.
With the third and the bass.
Sometimes I'll go with shape congruency if... It still sounds good. Mm-hmm. This sounds great. This sounds great. Mm-hmm. This sounds great. This, that even has contrary motion. That one did this.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a true full four note invertible chord, because two are the same, but I still use some of those the ones with double notes.
Sure.
But sometimes just all the voices moving up, you know.
So is this a good way to, I mean, am I on the right track?
It's a very good way.
And I mean, I have it.
Just again, all I'm qualifying, is just say, ultimately, when you go to categorizing for usage, it won't be by complexity, it'll be by preferred sound of the moment.
Right.
If you hear wada in your mind, that needs a natural 9.
Mm-hmm.
Then you decide, do I want, here 4 or 5 typical things, do you want a regular flavor dominant?
Right.
Mild, less mild? Do you want a suspended flavor?
Sure.
Mild, less mild? Do you want an augmented 9, you know, like a 9 with a sharp 5?
Mm-hmm.
Do you want a sharp 11 dominant?
Right, exactly.
Doesn't sound right to me as a 5.
Man, and it all depends not just on the tune, but your mood. You might be pissed off that day and say, hey, dude, I want to get, or you might like be in love, wildly.
Yeah, so wildly not in love would be, let's see,
right. Yeah,
dramatic.
That's like wildly not in love, and I have a knife behind me.
That looks strange. You hear that stuff in films.
Yeah.
I'll just let it ring. You know, they usually have a keyboard do it or something.
It sounds like someone's underneath the piano.
Just messing
with it. And the grand, you know? I mean, not, yeah.
Tom and Jerry cartoon. You ever seen that one where Jerry's running over the keys and messing with Tom when he's playing? It's clever stuff. Anyway, I'm going to give you a couple papers on this subject, and hoping that it may help. It's exactly in the string of voice in group two. We'll start with the top string so it's easier to understand.
Okay, I wrote, as I said, what I last time we met, you said, let's concentrate on the small density right now.
Uh-huh.
And so, you know, basically I wrote it out in all three string sets.
Terrific.
Okay. And I'll start out practicing starting from the dominant seven, you know, and then just like this, you know. And continuing, you know.
It's a very fine way. I have no quarrel with it.
Then, once I'm done with that, then I'll take each sound and go up and down, you know, the fretboard, etc.
What I'm going to give you won't be a shock, you'll see.
Mm-hmm.
Yet, if there are a few new tidbits that remind you of other things,
super.
It'll be worth it to have given you the paper.
Okay, and you're saying the add, or it will show me, I mean, the other sounds I should add, they'll be there, or?
No. Some of them will be. I mean, you might go to the sharp 9 next.
Okay, and the 13 flat 9, the sharp 9, etc. I'm just trying to get some type of structure. Is there, you know...
It goes out for long ways.
Okay, too long right now.
If you really master these and apply them, you'll still... Adding the sharp 9s for a while will keep you busy.
Okay.
You know, knowing them on at least the top and middle set and your favorites at least on the bottom, wow, that's a lot of stuff.
Man. Right.
It's good work, though.
It's great.
I'm glad you're doing it.
Oh yeah, I'm into it. I'm totally gonna do this. And you know, again, plus the seven basic qualities, and I'm starting to add, you know, minor ninths and major ninths, add ninths. I have, but some fingerings are a little out of bounds.
Show me an out of bounds major nine.
Add nine.
Oh, add nine?
Yeah.
And you say major nine? Yeah.
Major nine, I don't think I've had a problem with
okay,
with
well, let's fingers. See an add nine. Let's see what you got.
I'm trying to remember one.
The one on the middle strings has the fifth and the bass?
Yeah, let's see. Yes. Is that it? Oh, no. What we do is you move... You said take the seventh and move it up to the ninth. That's how you make an add nine.
Out of a major nine?
Yeah, out of like a major seven.
No, you take a major seven.
Uh-huh. Here's one.
I should give you this other thing. Here's a simple procedure.
Mm-hmm.
Sixth.
Right. Doing those one diminished, two, five exercises.
Great. Okay, so B6, B6 9, raised root to 9.
Yeah, okay, I can dig that.
B major 7, B major 9,
that
we raised root to
9. I'm up to that.
And now B add 9 by raising the 7 in that one.
By raising the 7 in this one?
Yep.
Which would be this?
Try.
Like that?
Try. No, not so far. Just to the root.
Oh, okay. That's way cool.
And how are you going about it, Mark? To get your ad
Let me. I want to read. Okay, because this is where I read it, and I want to make sure because I might be misunderstanding. Oh, I didn't bring this. Bring it. As I recall, on ad 9 is just a major triad with a ninth, major ninth.
That's correct.
Okay, so I was under the assumption that let's say we had a major seventh, and we would move the seventh up to the major seventh up to the ninth.
Wow, that puts you in a different.
At least,
you'd be into a whole nother voicing group. You would have add nine chords, but they wouldn't be anymore in your group. They'd be into like close harmony or something.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, I must have misunderstood it from your inversion sheet. And that way, especially in the low string voicings.
Wow, that doesn't even work on that one. Oh yeah, some of them are out of bounds that way. That's
yeah.
That's what happened.
And on the low string, some of these guys, as I remember, were tough.
A sheet out of the file sure. for you to look at.
I'm so glad you're doing this.
I'm into it. I'm happy. I'm glad, too. And I'm not, you know, pretty, it takes pretty much all my musical time, and all my musical time takes all my time.
And you're playing, I hear you play a little phrase of that song, so you're still playing some tunes.
Yeah, I am. Yes, yeah. Although, you know, my feeling again is, it's, I have a perfect opportunity to really learn, go back to the, you know, learn the basics like this, because I'm not gigging or doing anything like that, and I have, you know, I could practice and practice whatever I want, so I have a great opportunity to learn this.
I'm going to get you some pages with that other stuff I was saying. Look at this process here. I'm going to go use the bathroom.
Sure.
I want you to take a peek at this real carefully and see that it makes sense to you. And apply some of the formula on the back. March 4th, 1992. So yeah, we're talking about the page called Chord Transformation Exercises. It's voicing group two up on the top strings. So six to major seven. You just raise six to seven in each inversion.
Got this.
Six to 6 9. We just raised the root to the nine.
Okay.
I still see the visual root under where it was. Mm-hmm. So I still picture the chord from there.
Mm-hmm.
When I do this one, I'm still picturing that root there.
Mm-hmm.
This one, yes and no. I tend to go with the second string root whenever the third's on the top in these kinds of forms when the root is not in the bass.
Okay.
In other words, I see that little root
the
right there.
A flat right there.
With this little third. Mm-hmm. I find it's helpful for all kinds of chords because when you finally get to add nine, it's right there. So I see all these chords that way. It took a while because I'm so used to seeing it from there.
Right, okay.
When that note's not even in there, it seems just as feasible. Plus, I dig the sound.
Just sort of go up from the third.
For an added note, yeah, you go up to the third. coming from the third of the root. When you hear, I mean, it's just a nice note to have. The root actually enhances the flavor. So, and then this one, when we take the root up to the nine, I no longer see the second string root anymore. I see the fifth string root, as I believe you would too, from.
Exactly.
So we don't always keep the old root in our vision. We go with whatever works best given our guitar experience. Most guitar players have done either a dominant nine root,
right,
or a 6-9 or both, and they've seen it from the string, so there's no sense in fighting City Hall on that one. This root is a great thing when it's the root in the chord, but once it's gone on those chords, heck with it, you know?
I agree.
Then exercise three combines both of those things. That's what we did before on the middle strings there a few moments back. We had a 6 going to a major 7. This is actually a different procedure, you'll see. We did exercise 5 before without calling it that. Exercise 3 is 6 to major 7 and then 6-9 to major 9. In both cases you get 6 to 7. So here's a 6 to a major 7 and a 6-9 to a major 9. You want to hear the implied root.
Okay.
See all of them from fret number 1 in this case. Any question about that particular thing?
No, I don't question as far as seeing that, but I'm trying to find out, I mean, what the goal is, just to introduce new sounds or to train your ear.
See, the major family has, I used to know all this so much, I haven't thought about it in a long time. God, I used to know if it's 11 or 13. There's a certain number, and it escapes me for the moment. I can figure that out again. They're added note chords. You can add 6, 7, or 9. The combination notes are 6 and 7, 6 and 9, 7 and 9. That's 6 types so far. Then we have 3 types there are 2 types of 6 9s because we can get rid of the root. Oh, yes, that's right. It's double. It's 9, not 6, because you can either leave out the root or the 5th in all those chords.
Okay.
So we're up to 9 types of chords. Then you have the one that has all 3 in it, the major 13, that has 6, 7, and 9. That has 3 ways to be able to be played. So we're up to 12. There are 12 types, if I'm remembering the figure right, there'd be 12 rows of major extensions. This is part of that picture.
Beautiful. Okay, you're giving this to me to help tie me into the...
System to practice.
Right, you know? Of inversions, learning the inversions, learning the various, not just dominant, but major and minor, etc.
Yes, everything.
Perfect.
Right.
Okay.
So I'm pretty sure that it's something like 12. I may have gone too quickly, but it seems like the only normal tones we add at first that won't be clashing, that we won't have to worry as much about, are 6, 7, and 9.
Okay.
And again, you can add 2 at a time, but if you do that in a 4-note chord, you've got to drop the root of the 5th.
Right.
Now later you'll find you can drop the.
You can never drop the third.
Yes, you can.
You can drop the
contemporary ear, we play major nines like this without the third.
That's true.
So there'll be more than 12. There'll be like 15 and stuff. Mm-hmm. That's what it really was. 15. Or is it 16? Because the only thing we can drop it to. Maybe 16 when we finally get it all said and done. We'll see. We'll take it step by step.
Okay.
Nobody ever made me take it that far. I did it on my own once, for my own edit.
Yeah, I mean, I sit there and I go, there's nothing really magical about it. I bought the piston book and the workbook, so I'm going one chapter a week.
Chapter but augmented 6. When you get to augmented 6,
get rid of it.
Let's talk.
Okay. We've had that discussion when I was in school last 20 years ago.
Really?
Yeah.
Other than that, anything else seemed like
it? Is it good?
It wasn't bad. Is this the new one, the Dorado?
Yeah, the 5th edition.
Yeah.
But, what was I getting at?
About that there were, all this stuff, there are like 16 chord types maybe.
Excuse me. Yeah. And because I'm in the computer field, I mean, you have a finite number of tones that you, if you just took the time and organized it like you did, you've taken the time and organized it, you could organize these sounds out.
Yeah, it's true. You really can. They can be organized. And you just find your favorites. When I went into it, I finally made a list. After doing all these drills, I've got a list like that for you in the file, and a humongous list that I never had anybody learned it. So, you know, all my favorites, each, especially in major, I started really deeply in there. And then I realized how many chords I was trying to learn. And I said, well, let's take this a little slower because I wasn't retaining everything. And so I started a new process, and I've never come out of it, which is organize everything by the soprano. Because that's what I'm hearing the most, and I think that's what we're all hearing. So that's the list that I'll give you ultimately, if you even if I even see that you need them.
Okay.
It probably won't hurt. They're all organized from the soprano.
Sure, sure.
So all these are just to get you to a place where you see voicings, but then when you finally go to use them, they're just sounds in your head organized by the highest pitch first. For walking bass purposes, visually, not so much sound-wise, but visually we do organize sounds from the bottom.
Okay.
But not for these little upstairs
chords. No.
They much better work with the soprano. Exercise 5, if we jump to that, is very similar to 3, but you'll notice when you work with it, it's a little backwards.
Okay.
Exercise 4 and 6 bring in the ad-9 chord. They affix it to either exercise 3 or 5. They extend exercise 3 or 5 one more type into the ad 9 realm.
Whereas okay, level, now you take it to, okay, yeah, you take each exercise, goes through the various inversions too. I mean, you have the,
oh, yes.
Yes, okay, so it's not just one exercise and one inversion, there are all the 4 inversion types.
Yeah, that's why they're separated by this little squiggly.
Gotcha.
Thing. So this and this are all the same.
So 5, I'm on my own. You give me the sounds, I'm sort of on my own.
By then, you'll know exactly what it is because you've had all of them up there.
Right, okay, but I should create those into the various inversion groups.
It'll
just
be
like
so
that.
Easy.
Okay.
This will be 5 times easier than when you first get in.
Okay, okay, gotcha.
You'll be so conversant with it by then, it'll feel good. It's like a reward. You go, wow, I do know this now. Look, this is a 6 and a 6-9, a major 7, and a major.
Yeah, I mean, I made a big push today. I took off from work so I could practice today. I mean, and I went through your systematic inversion. You have the list of things, you know.
Yeah, I remember that on the left-hand bottom
corner.
Yeah,
you know, eventually want to do that. And I was really getting into it. You know, it was everything was sort of fresh in my mind, and I went through every sound. You know, I mean, not speed demon, you know, I mean, nowhere near. But what it was told me is that I could do it. That I can learn this. You know, the last time I'd really attacked this was when I was like 18 and it seemed so big. You know what I mean?
Are you 30 years old now?
36.
Wow, the time just flies
by,
doesn't it?
Yeah, blows my mind. It's okay.
Yes, it is.
If I do this for 10 years, you know, I'll be able to I'll gain a lot of insight.
Your playing's really sounding good. I was listening to Phrase before on that. Miss the Saturday. That sounded great, you know?
What is that? The kid.
Don't Get Around Me?
Yeah, the good. That's a great tune.
Yeah, my singer friend and I have just begun doing that in our duo, and we like it.
Yeah, I try and do the, you know. Look.
Play it. I'd like to listen to it.
Do little fills, you know. I don't like that sound.
Sounds fine. Yeah, I like what you're doing.
But it's fun to jam. You know, I jam with it. I love it. I mean, I love doing it. That's where that the diminished.
Do you have friends that like jazz, Mark?
Not that. So-so. You know, it's been like that since I was a little kid.
They don't understand your passion for it?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I was just like I was thinking today. Well, you know, I'm not playing really any single note stuff, and that's okay, because, you know, we had this discussion, and this is perfect. I was going to go, Ted, you know, the single note got dudes get all the chicks, man. What's going to happen, you know?
Well, it's true until, you know what happens sometimes, though? To make it real, in a way, to make it, I don't know if this is serious or not, okay? it's in a way, it is humorous to put it.
I'm kidding.
No, no, but in a way, it's true, of course, especially in rock. The rhythm guitar, but as long as he's in the famous band, he's going to get chicks too, just not the first call.
Right.
She might like his looks better, you know. The dark, sultry one that he liked actually liked him better because he was silver-haired, you know.
Real well, too.
Well, yeah, that's the big phallic thing, you know. I mean, they get the the representation's even stronger on a subliminal level.
Right.
But sincerely, like, you're in a band and or you're in a duo and you're out there and things start happening and then there's no bass, right?
Mm.
And then the singer stops and you're, and somebody in the audience, some chick who has sensuality personified, hears that and goes, holy fuck, this cat can groove, man. I like his spirit, you know. I'm serious, somebody's going to feel. Emily, my great friend who's not with us anymore, she understood that, man.
Oh yeah, I mean, I could dig it.
If I'd solo and I'd hit some good notes, she'd love it, but sometimes if I just start playing,
you get the classy babes.
In a way, it's true. Yeah, they'll understand. Or actually, this real sexy chicks. No, that's a form of sensuality too, man. It's just keeping time. Music is so righteous, man. I mean, we have so many good fortunes by being musicians. Mm-hmm. You know, both of our tellies are sounding good tonight in this amp. I'm noticing. I'm really liking the sound of yours, and I'm really liking mine too. At least hopefully that makes sense. Let me get your paper out.
Can I
continue.
Ask some more questions while you're rolling? Cross-cycling, you still subscribe? Is that a valid thing?
Yes.
Then
it's very very rare comparatively to the other things like in jazz, though.
Like, you know, a 7 flat 9 sharp 5 is...
Same as a ninth chord.
Right.
I don't think about all that, though. Not while I'm playing. No, it's not useful compared to other things to think about. It's not that it has no value, especially for just for conversation and fascination.
Right.
But on the gig playing, you hear a sound, you're on a, let's say, if this is our key, if you're in C, like, and you hear the natural nine, boom, on the five chord, or you hear the sharp five on the, it doesn't help me at that moment to say, oh yeah, well that's the same as a D flat 9.
It's equal.
I should just be thinking G and the color I want and get there fast enough and make it feel right. That other stuff will just take too long to think of, and what extra value do I really get?
Well, I mean, I've always thought of like the psychological thing with like approaching below or above from a half step, meaning it really is different from thinking, you know, in terms of a fifth, like a half step, sort of like an embellishment. You know what I mean?
Yes, it is. But I'm saying if you're hearing a G7, if that's the chord you're hearing, and you need a just see it, play it, have fun with it. If you're hearing D flat, then think of it as D flat 9. Well, I think of it as G if you're hearing it as the half step.
Don't have, like, an incredible battle in my head about it.
Might as well call it F minor 7 flat 5.
Right.
It is that, too.
Right. Don't battle it.
B flat, it's also B flat 11 flat 9.
Right. Okay.
And it's A flat, no, B flat. I can't even say it right. Look at that stupid sound. It's B 6 flat 5. It is.
Okay.
It just doesn't help, though. Not at that moment. Mm-hmm. I made a big error in my older days of thinking that was more important just because it fascinated me so much. Mm-hmm. I didn't stop to say, yes, it's interesting, but is it useful?
Right.
While you're playing, is it useful? The answer is yes, sometimes, and we'll get to those times eventually. If it, or you'll get to them on your own, but most of the time, it just gets in the way, man. Okay. You almost have to study everything as if it doesn't look like anything else. Forget that chords look the same.
Right.
It seems much more overwhelming. Figure, God, can't I just take a shortcut since all six of these names are the same shape?
Bird was right. You know, you do all these studies, then forget it and just play.
That's right. That's right. Mm-hmm. Although, he's only right for one kind of spirit, because you take the Bill Evans theory, I must subscribe to that too, which is absolutely thinking and control of every little iota. When Bach was improvising with you, he was not forgetting it and just letting it happen.
Right.
He was absolutely in control of every single note. Mm-hmm. That's a cool way too. It doesn't obviate feeling. It doesn't preclude being able to feel and swing and groove. It just means that you're trying to be a super intelligent player at the same time. That's hard to do.
That is very difficult.
But it's possible.
Mm.
Levins has proved it, and other guys like that. Who's, and believe it or not, I think Bird proved it too. He just said that thing that, man, when he's racing through some changes, man, I know his brain is saying, all right, I need to get this G7 sound. He knows. Right. It's part of his mind. He's not just saying, well, I just hear it all, man. I don't believe he was doing that. Mm-hmm. Too intelligent.
Well, maybe through practice and repetition stuff, he knows that, but he doesn't have to sit there.
Let's take Art Tatum. Art Tatum would freely modulate to any key. Right? Mm-hmm. But he'd always bring it back and stuff. How could he bring it back if he didn't know what key he was in? You could say perfect pitch. Maybe that's the explanation. Mm-hmm. No. Would that account for all those amazing flights? He'd just go out there. And so I think his brain was in some control of all of his ideas.
And maybe the ability to make a mental decision without thinking about it. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's a difficult thing. But you know who did that a lot on guitar? Lenny Bro. Because Lenny knew what he was doing all the time. Mm-hmm. All the time. But sometimes it's as if another higher part of him was playing and not necessarily intellectualizing, just letting the sounds control
it.
But always still, brain was in there somewhere, knowing where he was, so he wouldn't get lost, so he'd come out of the changes right.
I mean, because I can't believe, and I think it is, it's like a higher power, you know, or something. Because, man, I analyzed, like, the Pathetique, you know, Beethoven's Pathetique. Oh, yeah. And, man, I can't, and you close your eyes, and it's so musical, and, like, you know, it's so beautiful. And when you analyze it, it's off this three-note cell that he sits there, and, you know, I mean, and like box work, every single note is, like, crystal clear, put there, and now I can't understand. I mean, all I could say is that God created an innate art form that man appreciates. You know, that is
already waiting. He just has to find it. Yeah, could be. I think in Beethoven's case, it's possible also that. Given what I've read about him and seen the sketchbooks, if you've ever seen the reproductions of the sketchbooks, music didn't come easy to him, certain aspects of composing. So he would try things many, many, many ways until he got just what he wanted.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Bach appears to have been inherently, even though they don't say it, nobody says one word about it, the facts seem to indicate that he must have been able to write quickly because he had to produce a cantata sometimes every Sunday at one period of his life where he was writing in like
Mozart whipped it out too.
Mozart whipped it out. Handel's like astounding. Schubert's probably the most astounding. Mm-hmm. He got up every day and he just started writing and just wrote for hours and didn't stop, man. He was just a fast writer.
Yeah, I just finished a book on Mozart, man. And it's
astonishing, man.
How can those guys whip that shit out? And it's like
well, they're extremely gifted.
Yeah, and it's like taking a shit for them, but it's like a beautiful. This beautiful, godlike piece.
But see, Mozart was crafting it in his mind before he set it to paper. So he had one other ability, which is they talk about. They don't describe it quite this deep, but it could be, I'm going to exaggerate it, possibly a touch, perfect memory.
Mm-hmm.
They say his memory was prodigious. So let's just say he composed something and stored it away. He'd remember it.
Like
already,
a MIDI machine or something.
Yeah,
you know?
So it's already there. Then he goes, wow, am I happy with that bass line? And he's hearing it because he was born with perfect pitch.
Right.
Kid had it from
birth.
So he's hearing the notes.
He could change it.
And it's just like, do I like it or not? So that's a special gifted guy to have the pitch and the memory. Most guys don't have both.
No. And the ability to have memory or think in time.
And to have such a genius for melody.
Yeah. Right.
And form and creativity. Yeah. I mean, he had all the gifts, man. Of all the guys, the only guys that are close are maybe three or four other guys. Bach. Well, I don't know how much Bach was born with, though.
He was an incredible craftsman, man.
Yeah, I think that's what it was, man. And he might have had certain gifts from birth, but they don't show up in his early pieces. Mm-hmm. It's funny. Nor do Mozart's, really. It's just that you say writing anything that good at young age is good.
I mean, Mozart's early pieces, but are like when he was 8 or something, right?
Check it out, though. The most advanced young composer of all time.
Chopin.
Hands down. No. Hands down, man. It'll blow your mind. Really? Listen sometime to the fugues that Mendelssohn wrote when he was 14.
Really?
They sound like Bach's master fugues.
Hmm.
He was only 14. You just can't believe that a 14-year-old kid could write these.
And he synthesized, did he synthesize his style, or?
Bach.
Yeah.
It sounds like if Bach had lived and kept going, or just kept doing what he was already doing. Mm-hmm. He hadn't improved, but he hadn't gone down. They're that beautiful.
Mm.
You can't hear him without thinking of Bach. and he revered Bach. He's the guy, as you may remember, brought Bach back to the Western world, 1829, the famous. He was, I think he was the most gifted kid we ever had.
Really?
It's just that he didn't go much, he stayed at that same level.
You need that development.
Whereas Mozart just kept in a straight line like Cruz, and by the end of his life, his last symphony is just a total fucking masterwork, man. Jupiter Symphony.
Man, and it was pissing me off. I read it. I forgot the title of the book. I thought that the book that I read actually, it did mention some pretty hot pieces that I need to listen to.
40th Symphony is a great piece.
Is that
39th?
The Haydn Quartets?
Yes. But start, this will be very accessible for you. Try the 39th, 40th, and 41st Symphonies.
Okay.
Try to get a version. It's worth your time and investment to get something like the Stevens God. Do you ever see that? The Stevens
God? No, I don't.
Go to Tower Classical.
Yeah, okay.
Are you near a Tower Classical?
Westwood.
Great.
Yeah.
Go into their section and ask for the Stevenson Guide.
Okay.
And what you'll have to do, Mark, is read it carefully. You may have to take it home that night before you start buying.
Mm-hmm.
Really read it. It may take you 5 hours to even understand how to really do it great. Maybe
is it like
a
Schwann guide? Or
it's like a Schwann, but much more... I mean, it's got recommendations, see?
Oh, interesting.
All kinds of things that have been compiled.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And what will happen eventually, you get to know your reviewers, which magazines lean towards what.
Right. I'll
give you an example. There's a beautiful little magazine comes out every 2 months called American Record Guide.
Mm-hmm.
These guys love analog sound and romantic interpretation, most of the reviewers.
Mm-hmm.
They don't care if it's purist, as long as it's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I feel, too.
Mm-hmm.
Some books are absolute, or some reviewers are more like, it's got to be purist,
my
authentic
sister's
instruments,
like that.
You know?
The authentic Baroque instruments, man, like a Baroque trumpet that is broken, but is good. Yeah.
It's preferred to a beautiful latter-day virtuoso on a valve. She says, no, take the valves away, I don't want anything else. Give me overtone.
Yeah.
I like them all. I like anything
I do too,
that sounds
if it's done
good.
Well.
Yeah, same here. Yeah. So, for instance, if I see a recommendation out of the American Record Guide, because it shows which magazines gave it a high rating for A, performance, and B, sound. They always rate it both ways. Frankly, with sound, I don't care as much unless I love the work. I love Beethoven's Fifth so much that I want it to sound like the demons from hell on the great fiery parts, and I want it to sound poetic beautiful.
I have I'm an audiophile. I have a very good stereo system.
Are you an audiophile?
Yeah, I mean, I used to, and I got good gear. I love good...
You have straight wire, no gain type stuff? I mean, like minimal controls in the path?
Yeah, nothing. No controls, pretty
really
much.
Went that route.
I have mainly NAD stuff.
That's good stuff.
Yeah, Nakamichi and stuff like that.
That's good stuff.
It's, you know...
It, you know what it is? It's the high end of mid-fi and the low end of hi-fi.
Right.
But it's still very, very, very
like
good sounding.
$300 a component. $300 to $400 a component.
Let me ask something. When you listen, is that stuff into the sound staging stuff where you could pick out where all the instruments are, or is it not quite delivering all that?
No, it's not there.
Because you know when you read about, say you read Absolute Sound, any of these, you know, they're talking about that stuff that costs $20,000 where you can hear everybody sitting.